Welcome. I'm your host, Andrea Maximo, and you are listening to the Electric Feminine Podcast.
Welcome back to part two of the Goddess Rising series with Sarah Tracy, my Life and Central Movement client. If you've not heard the previous episodes with Sarah, or the intro, or the bonus episodes, I should say, with Sarah about coaching and therapy, I do suggest going back and listening to those episodes as a little bit of context to what this particular episode is going to be about. So we did a three-part session work with Sarah, and this is going to be her second session that you are about to hear. Just a little recap. Coming off of session one, she was given at the end of the session an action step to review her personal family values and to see if that is possibly coming up again as a source of conflict or an obstacle when it comes to her really embodying her sensuality in a way that feels unapologetically like herself today as the woman she is now versus the child or young woman she was when she grew up with her family. So you are going to hear definitely us working through some of her realizations around that. And this is a very common thing. Family values often come up as an obstacle when I'm coaching with people, and it makes sense. So these are the things that we were raised with, the values we were raised with, the rules we were raised with. And as an adult, sometimes what we come to find is these now feel very restrictive as we have changed. We're no longer children. We are now able to discern what we want in our lives, what kind of people we want in our lives, what kind of activities and personal pursuits and careers we want. And we can choose them for ourselves. And what we will find sometimes is that they come directly in conflict, though, with what we were raised with. And that's often when people are feeling a sense of guilt, frustration, not sure how to be authentically themselves and still not disrespect how they were raised, or not wanting anything to do with how were they raised, but they were so indoctrinated by these values that they don't know how to let them go. So this is a really common thing that I will coach people through often. And it does start with you being able to discern what your personal values are, your North Star, as I like to call them. And you can believe in tons of things. You can feel very strongly about lots of things, but typically we all have about five that we really hold close to the heart that are your North Star, and they will evolve as you evolve. Because what Sarah obviously, you know, learns to value as a child or even as a young adult is going to be different than what she values now as an older woman, a grown woman. And it's going to be different as she gets older and, you know, progresses in age, the things that she values. So do know your values, but just hold them lightly, understanding that they are meant to evolve and change as you evolve and change as an adult as well. Something else you are going to definitely hear in this episode is us working through how to deal with your gremlin or your inner critic, as it is often addressed as, and I call it the gremlin. This is how it was taught to me, and I've kind of adopted that idea fully and run with it. But I, you know, my spin on it a bit is that this gremlin is more like your inner child than we realize. And it is a version of us. So that's why we don't want to get rid of it, or can't get rid of it, even if we wanted to. So how do we manage it? And something that comes up often with Sarah and many of my clients is they've done all this work, and yet the gremlin still continues to present itself in the way it does, or it still tries to sabotage us in a moment. So what are the steps we have to do to talk it down? And we do address that. And it is a practice. This is not overnight magic, right? This is life coaching, meaning that you are learning how to create a curriculum for how you want to live. And that requires practice, and it requires a little trial and error and trying things on, and a lot of, you know, deconditioning from the things that we were taught, and learning to have faith and trust in the things that we now believe and we can create for ourselves. Like Sarah wanting very much to express herself in a very, you know, hypersexualized way, and really wanting to own that super erotic siren type energy at the same time as she enjoys being this very kind of hippie, flower child kind of vibe as well, right? And they both work and they are both able to be with the word and. So we discussed that. The last thing that I definitely want to touch on, and you will see this in the show notes, is we do address a few times, most likely throughout all three sessions, something called the levels of energy. The seven levels of energy, or the Energy Leadership Index, was created by Bruce D. Schneider, who is the founder of IPEC, the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching. This is the coaching school that I attended and graduated from. And this is probably one of the most impactful pieces of personal development that I have ever received. And I love using this with my clients. So we do address this in it really briefly. There's more information, like I said, in the show notes, and you can always reach out to me directly if you would like an assessment done for you. But it essentially, it's the idea that we all have seven levels of energy that we're able to access at any time. We don't think of them as good or bad, right? We don't judge these levels of energy, as we are able to use them in multiple ways. So with intention. So whatever intention you have behind it is how this energy is going to show up for you. So being aware that if we are accessing the lower levels of energy, one and two, which are typically catabolic, is how we refer to them. Catabolic meaning constricting in this sense, right? You're taking it from science or biology, but in this sense, we're taking that catabolic thinking, meaning that we have blinders on, meaning that we are in a place of tunnel vision, not really able to see our way out. That sounds negative. However, that same energy also, when intentional, could be the energy that you access when you just want a day off and you need to cry, or you need to intentionally wrap yourself up into a blanket burrito and Netflix and not do anything, right? Again, it's intentional versus an involuntary kind of reflex to just fall into this reactionary, you know, depression, as opposed to intentionally deciding to put yourself into a swamping mode where you're allowing yourself to just feel through the things that you have to feel. Same thing with level two, being an angrier or more aggressive state of energy. Sure, this could be deemed, it could be used incorrectly. It could be used to be abusive. It could be, you know, if you have a boss you're working for who has level two energy that they're accessing on a regular, this means most likely that their office environment is going to be tense. That working for this person is going to cause people to feel like they're walking on eggshells. This person is generally going to be unapproachable, not open, not empathetic, running their team on a sense of fear. And it might be really effective in the beginning, and it often can be, but it's not sustainable typically, right? So the levels of energy progress. Obviously, they get higher, and that means now they're anabolic, meaning they're expansive. Your thoughts are now more expansive. The blinders have come off, and we're now able to think in different ways. So each level of energy has a different thought attached to it. It has an action attached typically to it, right? Very general. And like I said, it goes all the way up to seven, and it just depends on how we learn about it and how we use them. In times of stress, most of us are going to be, unfortunately, in lower levels of energy. The whole world actually is in one and two most of the time. And this is a really, I think, effective way to see how stress affects you when you take this assessment. So all my clients take the assessment before they begin coaching with me. This way we have a similar language to reference, similar idea when we're talking about our states and our feelings and our thoughts, that we can reference the Energy Leadership Index. So that's what that's about. I hope you enjoy this episode. There is one more after this that we'll be closing out the last session. Do listen. I hope you've been enjoying the season so far.
Hello, my lady.
Hello. Thank you. So glad to be here.
Yes. All right. So we've got session two today. And you know, we always start with the same question. How is your heart today?
My heart is good. I am yesterday was a big day, lots of stuff going on, so I'm a little bit tired, but I am good.
Okay, so work-related?
Yeah, work-related, and also, I mean, this is relevant to what we're going to be talking about. I went to the gym last night for the first time in forever, so, like, that feels, my body feels very, like, in a good way, you know? It's like, it's alive, my body's alive, but it's also like, yes. Whoa, what were you doing?
we didn't know we were going to get so alive last night. Okay. Okay, awesome. That's beautiful to hear. Beautiful. Okay, so let's get right into action steps from yesterday. You know, we've already, for anyone who was listening, we've already briefed them beforehand. So yeah, tell me, did you get a chance to look at them and how'd that go?
I did. I spent some time thinking about, you know, values, how I was raised versus what I really have come to believe as an adult. And I think the thing that is most clear and coming out of what we talked about yesterday and reflecting back on that is, you know, and I said this before, but I grew up really believing natural is best. And what I've come to learn and believe as an adult is that there are a million different ways to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I think about, you know, the women who catch my eye on the street or in a restaurant or a bar, and it's everything from the, what's the name of Meryl Streep's character in Devil Wears Prada, you know, like,
oh yes, yeah,
8 feet tall and mm-hmm. perfectly polished, and mm-hmm. you know, and the, you know, roller derby babe covered head to toe in tattoos with half yes. of her head shaved. Like,
yes.
both of them are gorgeous. I mean, and you were telling me this over and over yesterday, but like, I don't have to pick one. And I think that is, that's refreshing to me. And it is something that I really am trying to internalize, is that mm-hmm. it's okay. It's okay to be drawn to both of those and to try to try them on for myself in different ways in different places.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Beautiful. Awesome. Cause that's, I mean, what you're saying is that's it. That's the people on the periphery are going to be the people on the periphery. Mm-hmm. The person who was really giving you the hardest time yesterday was you.
Oh yeah.
Right. The people on the periphery will say you can't, you have to, you choose. And it's really about, what do you believe though? Because when you are so good with it, mm-hmm. right? You're so good with it, then it's really not you battling. Like yesterday, you were battling people on the periphery and yourself. That was just a lot of people to mm-hmm. go up against, right? Now it's like, I've got me on my side. That's the biggest one mm-hmm. and the most powerful one. Right. Yeah. Now it's you just up against, and not even up against, because that's even a choice.
Right.
To even care is a choice. To want to go up against is a choice. Or you could just choose to just, you know, like let them wordlessly yell. You know? You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's all a choice.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, I think that what's really telling to me is I was trying to think about, when's the last time somebody said something to me about what I'm wearing in a negative way? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't think of a time since I moved out of my parents' house when I was a kid. And that, you know, and I don't mean that, you know, we always talk about our parents do the best they can. I don't mean that as a criticism of my parents, but I like, mm-hmm. nobody says you can't go out like that after you're not a kid anymore, right? And that right. so that voice, that criticism is completely internal. I mean, of course there is the society, right? That mm-hmm. amorphous blob of things we think people think about us, but nobody's thinking about me half as much as I think they are.
And that part though, so okay, for instance, the gym, we know that the gym can be a really hot button spot for mm-hmm. a lot of people. Okay. Mm-hmm. In general. And then if we're just speaking about women, we know that this can trigger a lot of people. Okay. And the mm-hmm. thing I will hear from many women is, I don't want to go in there. Everybody will be looking at me going, what is this fat person doing in there? What is it? And I'm like, but have you actually heard, like, did that happen? Mm-hmm. Or if I go in there, the instructor's just going to mock me. I'm like, but did it actually happen? So yeah. It's like, you know, the how much fuel and energy, remember, what do I always tell you? Like, let's use our imaginations for good.
Right. Yeah. And that is, I had the gym last night. The first 10, 15 minutes that I was there, I was kind of like, ooh, I don't belong here. I'm in the way, yada, yada. But that that disappeared as soon as I got into a routine and started moving around, and I have just as much right to those weights as everybody else does.
Say it again. No, say that again.
I have just as much right to those weights as everybody else does. I do. And it's so easy. And it's like, you know, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares. They're all there to get through their shit. And you know, we're all doing the same damn thing.
Yeah. That's not dimming your light. Mm-hmm. It's one thing that I get to the gym, but then are you there and apologizing for your existence the whole time you're there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I definitely was at the beginning, but then I was like, no, I'm here.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that piece, it's no mm-hmm. apology. I have a right to, I'm here, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm not saying that cruel shit, people don't do cruel shit to each other. I'm not saying that people mm-hmm. don't mock people. I'm not saying that people haven't done horrendous things like take sneaky pictures and post them and just be fucking assholes. Okay.
Right.
And you know, it's like telling someone every time you go out the door, you could get killed. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I also could not. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like every time you go to the gym, if we think there's always going to be a mean girl scenario, it's going to happen because it happened once or it's happened never, but we heard it happen to a friend or we saw it happen in a movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's making me think about, I was listening to a podcast last night called Maintenance Phase. Mm-hmm. And it's all about kind of debunking what we think health and wellness is, and kind of looking at it with a more critical eye. And one of the podcast hosts was talking about how, you know, every fat person has had the experience of not getting good medical care from a doctor. And I hear that so often that I just assumed it was true, but I reflected on it for a minute and realized that a doctor has never commented to me about my weight. A doctor has mm-hmm. never told me to lose weight without me bringing it up first, you know? And so I think there is this, the parallel I'm trying to draw is that critical voice of what are you wearing mm-hmm. is the same, I think, as the voice of why are you a fat person in this space? Like nobody's actually saying those things to me in either instance. And so really taking some time over the last 24 hours to think about, is there any voice besides mine in my orbit saying those critical things to me? And there's right. not, there's not.
And that's why it's always comes down to what do you believe though?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I believe that I am worthy of care and of movement and of feeling beautiful. All of those things. Yeah.
And in order to begin to embody something truthfully and honestly, what do we have to begin to do then? Where do we start?
We have to change that voice or the words that voice is using. That's another thing I was reflecting on yesterday is how many times you asked me to come back to language. And that is, I mean, you know this, but people listening mm-hmm. don't, that I am, my degrees are in writing. I am a poet. Mm-hmm. And so language is like, I spent a decade of my life perfecting my use of language on the page, but not up here, mm-hmm. you know? So mm-hmm. that is like, that was kind of a kick in the ass to say like, you know the power that language has, you know what it does in terms of creation and art and persuasion. And that is not a thing that I embody in my own, mm-hmm. in the way I treat myself.
Mm-hmm. 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 But now you know.
Now I know.
Now you know. Now you're in the practice of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's the practice of it. We talk about that. It's the practice. It's not about, I know it. Now I'll go do it and it'll always get it right. Mm-hmm. Or now I know and I'll always walk into every room like a bad bitch. No, It's the practice of what happens in a moment of the panic or the voice popping up. That's the good shit right there. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's going to happen until it's like a fucking muscle and you've worked it and you've done enough of the work and have practiced enough to say you can easily identify it, stop it. And it never even like you kill it before it even gets its head up. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, no, 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 Missy voice. You turn right around or no, no.
Yep.
Come
I
back
call her Gladys.
Gladys, that's right. Tell Gladys the gremlin in your head. We name our gremlins in this world of coaching here. We name them something that's not somebody we know. Not someone we know, but a name that just for whatever reason just occurs to us. And for some reason, I find that people choose these names that are very like kind of classic old school names. Like mm-hmm. there's been Gertrudes and Berthas and Gladys. And, you know, it's interesting. Mine is Wanda. So, okay. So we know that you sat there and you said you broke down values and you came to these conclusions. So what is the conclusion? What does Sarah believe? Wholeheartedly, just declare it right now. I am what?
I believe that I can be beautiful in a million different ways.
No, no. I said, I am.
I am beautiful in a million different ways.
And what else?
And.
What else are you?
I am smart and I am powerful and I am funny and I'm creative. I am good at what I do.
What else?
Oh, I am loving. I am kind.
What else?
Sassy. I feel like I'm going to start singing that song now.
Yeah, come on. Keep going. What else?
Oh, I am, I'm sensitive. I said that yesterday, but that feels so like, that's a thing I struggle to own. I so long felt like I had to smush that, but no, I am
it's
sensitive.
A beautiful thing.
I am empathetic. I am.
What else?
Passionate.
Yes. What else?
I'm a good driver. I don't know where that came from.
Okay. How about when you're dancing?
Oh, when I am dancing, I'm sexy. I am sexy. Yeah. I'm powerful. I feel alive. You know, that kind of, expansive, you know, that kind of like, I can, you always say take up space, but that feeling of I am more than my body. I am energy. I'm expansive. And that it's like, okay, now I'm pulling out the poet stuff. I contain multitudes, right? That Walt Whitman, the thing that's been getting me down these past few years is trying to like, create a little box that Sarah fits in. Uh-huh. And that box has very hard edges and I don't have hard edges. I'm soft and flowy.
Yes.
There's nothing hard edged about me ever anywhere. I mean, I can be a bitch every now and then, but even then I'm still like, I'm a squishy bitch.
Squishy bitch. I love that so much. Okay, my squishy bitch. Yeah. How did it feel to say all those things? How did it feel in your body?
Oh, it felt scary. I felt my I wanted to get mm-hmm. smaller. And I felt the same way I feel when I'm wearing fake eyelashes and high heels that like, ooh, people are going to notice me. People are going to think I'm full of myself. Mm-hmm. People are going to think that I'm too proud or arrogant. I'm not any of those things. And I am, and even if I was, who cares? But I think that I have always observed in people a quality I admire is confidence. I love to see somebody who knows who they are and doesn't apologize for that. And I am turned off by someone who has just a notch too much of that. And so I think for me, there is I try too hard to walk that line of being confident, but not arrogant, and end up knocking myself back down instead of really owning that space.
And what does real arrogance look like, though? Why are people generally arrogant?
Because they're insecure. They have something to prove. Maybe. That's my assumption.
Sometimes it's because they've been raised to think that they are better for whatever reason, right? Breeding, money, background, credentials, right? They've been raised to believe that those things mean something. Mm-hmm. But it's just a belief. It's not necessarily that they are actually better than anybody else, right? It's just a belief. Mm-hmm. You don't think that way. Mm-mm. But if someone is a master carpenter, why the fuck would you not own the title of master carpenter?
Right.
I'm all right. Why would you say you're all right? Why would you not be like, no, I'm the fucking best in the world at what I do?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that there can't be anybody else. I think the problem is that we believe that if we take up space, that no one else will have room.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, if I do that though, then no one else, like, well, what if I'm not the best? I'm like, it doesn't fucking matter. There could be 800 people saying I'm the best in the world at what I do, because no one's going to do it exactly like how you do it.
Right.
It doesn't mean that there can't be 800 other carpenters that are expert masters, best at the world at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, this is why we have more than one freaking pop diva, for the crying out loud.
Right.
And they all are claiming they're the best in the motherfucking world at what they do. And I dare you to argue with them. But they totally respect that there's a Whitney and a Mariah and a the little one, the Grande, and what her name is. I sound just like my mother.
Ariana.
The little one. Ari, what's her name? My mom would have made up some absurd name. But yeah, you know, they all understand, Christina Aguilera, there's more than one of us out there with a voice.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I have a voice.
Yeah.
Right? So this is the same thing in the sense that you, again, are worrying about presenting yourself, first of all, to people we just discussed. The people in the periphery are going to come up with their own conclusions about you. Let them. Mm-hmm. Let them. Who fucking cares? If they really are important enough, they'll take the time to actually get to know you beyond what they perceive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If they don't, if they're people who jump to conclusions based on the exterior or one action, those aren't people you need anyway. So fuck those people.
Yeah.
And I hope they do well, but fuck them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
That's my new thing. Like, and God be with them and fuck them. But you know what I mean? So it's like, this is a situation where if it's Sarah saying, I am a really amazing writer and I'm a great poet and I'm really smart, why can't you own those things and also allow other people to own them and be in a world full of people just owning their shit?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean to be at the expense of somebody else.
Yes. Yeah. That makes so much sense. And I think where my mind keeps going, what Gladys keeps telling me is like, well, you know, somebody else is going to get that book contract, or, you know, there can only be one bestseller at the top of the list or whatever, you know, and that's bullshit. Like, who cares? Even, I mean, there's only one, but that changes every day or every week. You know, I think I had this professor in my PhD program who used to remind us, like, who cares if there are bad writers writing poetry? Because, like, there is enough poetry to go around. Like, bring on the bad poems and be reckless and be messy and just get it out of your head and onto paper. And that was so freeing. And I wrote my best work in his class because there was no pressure to be perfect the first time out or to be perfect ever. And so I think that mentality makes so much more sense than the competitive. Mm-hmm. There's only room, so much room at the top. you know,
well, you'll talk yourself out of everything before you even get started. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. write a book. I mean, you've written books, I know that, but I'm saying, like, for someone who just start writing. Mm-hmm. Well, it's almost like, again, we're preparing for doom.
Yeah.
You know, we're dress rehearsing for the worst case scenario. And you're like, but you haven't even started writing yet. Just write. Wait till you get to the point of having to worry about publishing to be concerned about that. But we haven't even gotten a book out yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's about energy. And we talk about energetic drains a lot in our sessions. Mm-hmm. Energetic drains we know can come from various different places. A mental energetic drain is going to come when we are in a place of thinking we're not enough. We don't have enough, tools, knowledge, whatever. It comes from consistently worrying and thinking that we've got to do more, be more. You know what I'm saying? It's like you can't be present or settled or think about the future in an optimistic way. That's a mental energetic drain. And you know what I'm hearing is a tremendous amount of your very precious energy, where you could have been writing 8 billion poems, mm-hmm, spent on worrying about an imaginary scenario that has not even occurred yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Okay, so every time Gladys starts, it's like, but Gladys, what's happening right now?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We just writing a poem, Gladys, relax. Yeah. It's about a flower, Gladys. Let me just write the fucking poem. I saw it, it was pretty. I want to just write the poem, Gladys. Doesn't matter if it's a good poem or not, Gladys, let me just get it out.
Yeah. That's precisely it. I think that feels so good. And I think you and I, our first ever coaching session outside of Pure Movement, just a first Electric Life, was talking about writing. And I had been working on this book, not poetry, a memoir. And it was so... I mean, anybody who's ever published a memoir always has an interview come out a couple months later about how writing a memoir was like cutting themselves open and like bleeding out on the table. And I was going through that, and you were like, you said the same thing to me about like, why are you thinking about whether or not you can sell this book when it's still a first draft? Why are you getting bogged down in what happens a year from now or 2 years from now, and like, just make art? And I was like, ooh, it hurt to hear it in the moment, because I had this whole fantasy around like, I'm gonna write this amazing book and pay my student loans off with it and like quit my job and be a writer and like this whole thing. And I couldn't do the work and have that fantasy at the same time. And it took a long break from writing. I'm just barely scratching into it again in really kind of a shitty first draft kind of way, and having fun with it again for the first time in a long time. But it was that narrative of like, your art is your way out is so, it's exhausting to carry that around and to try to live in it.
Well, I mean, I think it was Elizabeth Gilbert in her book, Big Magic, mm-hmm, and she says about pimping your art out. I think it was in that book, you know, and you know, right away, and I think she uses writers, like you just want to go out and you want to start writing for a living, but then you can't, the pressure, mm-hmm, to make your rent and then somehow be creative when that's not how your creative process works necessarily, especially in the beginning, right? So it's, what I'm hearing you say is just a realization that you're having, that this, you know, what it all comes down to is the big F word, freedom.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That comes back around for me to the other homework assignment you gave me yesterday, which was, what does baby Sarah need to know now? Mm-hmm. And I think about, my mom always tells this story. She used to volunteer at my elementary school, and she was working in the cafeteria one day. I think it was we used to have popcorn day. So I think she was the mom making the popcorn, but she was in the cafeteria with the lunch ladies. And she hears them talking about, oh my God, look at that girl in the hallway. Who's her mother? And why does she let her dress like that? And my mom turns around and it's me walking down the hallway. And I was wearing this little, my mom used to call me Madonna wannabe. And I had this little like pink, it was like a tank top with a little fluttery skirt and a big wide belt. Mm-hmm. And I probably had knee socks on. And I don't know, but I thought I was hot shit. And my mom was like, whatever, like that's the kind of clothes Sarah gets drawn to when we're at the store. So that's what she wears. And so mom tells that story about like, oh, hi, I had this weird little artistic kid and she just did her thing. And the lunch ladies made fun of her, but I didn't care because she's my weird little kid and I love her. I was thinking about that baby Sarah and that freedom to be bold and unique and colorful. And I don't know when it was, when from that moment with the lunch ladies to where we're sitting today when I'm 41, I don't know when I stopped wearing the tutus and the hot pink. But, and I didn't ever really, I do every now and then, and I feel great when I do, but when it stopped being the me that I presented to the world every day, I don't know when that happened. I don't remember, but it was like you and what I was thinking that version of me needs to hear is like, you are all grown up now. Mm-hmm. And those lunch ladies don't get to tell you. Mm-mm. They don't, nobody gets to tell you. Nobody's checking what you're wearing when you walk out the door, and you knew exactly who you were then and you know exactly who you are now, and that's it. Like that's the thing. And so quit worrying about it. And that is, you know, I know when we started this I told you I wanted to talk about clothes and makeup and shit, but that it's like
it never ends up being what we want. What we think it's gonna be,
but it's
right?
Just a layer, right? It's just it's just a layer, and I, that little girl in pink tutu was fucking happy. Yeah, and she wrote poems, and she like told stories, and played with Barbies under the table, and nobody could tell her that any of that was not exactly right.
Mm-hmm. 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 Returning back sometimes to the inner child and what delighted your inner child will ground you, right? You're not her, you've grown, and there were things that were that created magic for you and inspiration. And it's, I think, always worth revisiting. Mm-hmm. Because it's there was a land before you figured things out, or a land before you just knew too much. Mm-hmm. And you started to dial it back and put the light out. And where I want you to go back to that land, the land before time. Okay. And go back to that place. And you're right. Now, here's what's interesting too, is that, and I keep hearing it. I've heard it and I've experienced it. There's always a story of that kid who just naturally dares to be different. Doesn't even know they're being daring. They're just being mm-hmm. themselves. Mm-hmm. And the minute they realize that no one else sees or gets what they're doing, that suddenly they have a choice. They go down the path of continuing to go, fuck it. Mm-hmm. I'll keep being that kid then. I guess I'll own the label they want to give me then. And you do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you go down the path of saying, oh, and then you dial the light back and you conform. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was too much. Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. And it's not that one, it's not about saying, oh, you should have done this and this would have made you a better person. You're so brave. You're so courageous. Those people are so much cooler and you weren't, and you were weak and you, no, they're just, experiences of what happened. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So being wary of not judging that baby Sarah didn't choose to be like, fuck you, everybody, screw off lunch ladies and skipping down this hall. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wasn't your time to learn that then? Maybe it was your time to learn it now.
Yeah.
Right. Or, and not even putting that much like emphasis on like the universe had it all conspired that you weren't going to learn until you were 41. It's not like the universe had it all laid out in a plan and a blueprint necessarily, but it's just that for whatever reason in your development as a person, that wasn't the time for you to figure that out yet. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you something, talking about clothes for a minute though. Mm-hmm. May I share a visual that came to me and a suggestion of a possible outfit to explore next time you dance with me?
Yes, please.
Have you seen the mini ruffle skirts that are like little crinolines or even the longer ones? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
They are tremendously fun to dance in. If you wear the short one, the feeling of the ruffles, it's just so fun. And then the peak of your ass underneath it, uh-huh. You can go for the whole ruffle panty too, girl. We can just go all out. The longer crinoline, like the ones that they would wear under your A-line skirts that we love so much, mm-hmm. those are fun because they offer, again, just texture and your body being able to flow and peek out underneath it. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly feminine feeling, which I think there is a piece speaks to your goddess's energy, right? Mm-hmm. So, as you explore your goddess energy, understanding you're going to be drawn to different things. And that's been your exploration these last couple of years with me is what mm-hmm. lights up the sensual inside of you. And I think what you were discovering as you were moving towards the pinup, as you're moving, you know, towards recognizing, I love that A-line skirt. There is something about that era, 40s, mm-hmm. 50s, that you like. And it was an era that was depicted as very feminine in fashion, okay, with women mm-hmm. using, mm-hmm. you know, very stereotyped idea of what femininity was back then. Right. But it's what speaks to you. It is a form of femininity, an image of it. We know femininity can expand beyond that. Mm-hmm. And we know that the ruffles is forever kind of like associated with that. Yeah. So when you said Madonna, and I pictured that skirt, because I'm like, that's what she used to wear. Uh-huh. And we would wear those in class all the time. And we would especially assign them to students who were working with kind of adapting a bit more of that fun fluff mm-hmm. and airiness, right? There is an effervescence about you. You are a deep, deep rooted person who has a bubbly surface about you, which is really delicious.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're like a fucking really good glass of champagne.
I love that. Love, love, love it.
You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That feels so true. I love that. Because
you're crisp and you're bubbly and you're light, but it still has weight and it tastes good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what you remind me of. Okay, my love. So declarations of who you are becoming more clear. Okay. But now becomes the work of putting it into practice outside of this. What are some things that you think you can create for yourself to create an actual practice or to enroll this in what you're already doing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The first thought that came in my mind was I need to go shopping, but I think I turned that back right away too, because I think that I have the tools, some of the tools right here mm-hmm. in my closet. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to shop my closet. I think that's first. Really think about, so I have been a person who works from home most of the time since long before the pandemic. But before the pandemic, there were not so many video calls. So I had for years a small like professional wardrobe that I had to wear when I went out to meetings. But for the most part, I was in leggings and sweatshirts and, you know, that kind of thing at home. And so, it's been a struggle for me the last year and a half, 2 years to remember that people can see me now when I am working from home, mm-hmm. And to make that a part of my routine. So I think that is, it was a long preamble too. I think one of the things that I can do is build a little bit more intentionality into my morning routine about, you know, I asked you yesterday as we were wrapping up about, what if the energy I wake up with isn't the energy I need to bring with me for the day? And I think that is, you know, if I wake up with sweatpants energy, but I need A-line skirt energy, I've got the skirt. And just because I'm not leaving my house doesn't mean I can't put the skirt on. I mean, you tell me that all the time. I mean, it's usually fishnets, not A-line skirts, but that is the, I mean, I think that is a thing. That's a real easy thing that I could be doing every day to make this a practice and a habit and to ingrain it into what I do.
Yes. Yes. That what you, we left with yesterday, because we said we would touch on that today. You are 100% on that. It is about reframing, you know, why can't I just wear it here just because I'm not going somewhere. Right. There is something, you know, when everybody started working from home during the pandemic, this was interesting because I had quite a few clients that were struggling with this transition home. Okay. Mm-hmm. And part of the struggle was I'm home now, the energy feels different. Mm-hmm. Some people were struggling with the interruption in what they felt was their sanctuary and now felt like a workspace. Mm-hmm. And then some were struggling with the distractions because, you know, you're in your office, you're not distracted by the bing of the laundry machine or the fact that, you know, mm-hmm. oh, wait, you just saw a spot on that window. Let me go get up and clean it now. And you know what I mean? Right. So there's that. And then there's some people who were just struggling with getting dressed. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, it was fun mm-hmm. to come down into your Zoom meeting in your pajamas, you know, or half of your clothing.
Right.
You know, the bottom half was like your underwear and top half was your proper outfit, whatever. You know, but I think that that wore on some people too. Right. And it did kind of dissolve some of the energy, around feeling like you were either going somewhere or that you were right. So, you know, my son asked me the other day, why are you have makeup on? Well, you're not going in there. Why are you dressed up? I'm like, because I was feeling this morning that I wanted to lift my energy. And I know that presenting myself and dressing myself and adorning myself do that, but I can't wait to have a place to go to do that. Mm-hmm. So the place to go is the kitchen in the living room and my four client calls today. And that is what they're going to catch these eyelashes today. So, you know, so it's really, again, but what is this all boil down to? What do we then have to be willing to pull down or to shift? Mm-hmm. What do we have to be willing to do in order to create what we really want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is, you know, for me as a single woman, lives alone, works at home, I have all the freedom in the world. You know, there's nobody mm-hmm. telling me where to put my furniture or they don't like that color or whatever. And I think I have that bold and colorful is, I need that in my home. I think that is another thing to create that energy in my space. And I try to, I have little bits of it here and there, but I think a more concerted like expression of myself and my environment could be really powerful.
You're creative. Mm-hmm. I mean, how exciting is this right now though? Because basically what I'm hearing you say is you're about to rip the lid off.
Yeah.
Or take rip the off the box that you've said you put yourself in earlier. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you know, the work I've been doing over the last few years was about figuring out how the box is made. And I think this is, bear with me as I try to play out this mm-hmm. analogy in my mind, but I was trying to do a project in my kitchen the other day that my walls are plaster and I've never lived anywhere with plaster walls before. I've always had drywall. And so I'm like, trying to understand what happens when I put a screw into plaster so that I don't like drill through a pipe or something or electrocute mm-hmm. myself. And I think that process of learning what's inside my walls before I can make the room look the way I want it to is kind of what I've been doing to myself. And I'm further along. Like I know what's inside. And I can do the decorating now. I can do the expression of the thing. And I think that was that was really, really hard work that it is, you know, about my divorce and about things that happened before my divorce and how I grew up. And I've done that. And like, that's the exciting thing, right? Is I did the messy work. I did the demo. Now I get to do the fun stuff.
Yes. Now it's the rebuild. It's the remodel. It's the redesign. It's whatever the fuck it is. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Everybody loves a reno.
Oh my God, they do. Now imagine a reno with zero rules. Mm-hmm.
I love it.
No home inspector swinging by. Hey, this is build what the fuck you want.
No permits.
No permits. This is the build what you want show. Mm-hmm. 19 layers on that house. Sure thing. Go for it. A tub inside of a tub inside of a tub makes total sense. Do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because all of it is made up, Sarah. All of it. Mm-hmm. All of it. The shit people are scared of. The shit people hold against you. It's all made up rules. The expectations are on whether you're thin, whether you're fat, whether you're this, whether you're black, whether you're white. It's all made up. Mm-hmm. And once you figure it out, like, it's like the fucking Matrix for real. You really can just do what you want, but you've got to have, it's the knowing I can do what I want and then being willing to be courageous in doing what you want. Mm-hmm. Knowing that some people aren't going to like it.
Yeah.
Knowing some people may question, knowing some people may call you weird, and not giving and making a conscious decision to not even rail against the haters and the trolls. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
They don't matter.
They don't. Do you know the amount of energy it took for them to have to muster the nasty comment that came out of their mouth and how negative that energy is? And they think they're spewing the energy to hurt you. And in some instances, it can. But it really, for you, it's like, it's a choice to accept it or not. For them, that negativity came from a darkness that lives within them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have to choose to really do some deep work. They're the ones that are actually being poisoned every time they say something nasty, demeaning, or cruel, but they don't realize it. I want you to think about the energy it takes for you to want to hit and hurt someone. Words require the same amount of negative energy to come out of your mouth as it would for you to cock your hand back and punch someone.
Yeah.
Right? So if you are then going to receive it and I'm like, well, I'm going to punch you back, level two energy to level two energy. Mm-hmm. It's a choice. Mm-hmm. But choose, is this the battle I need to fight? Or does this fucking person's opinion really not matter? And let me save that energy for a real, real fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or something super significant. I don't even know what that would be to cause me to have to rail against it, but your job trying to tell you I'm firing you because you can't wear pink. I don't know. Like, don't tell me I can't be who I want to be. That we're going to go to fight about that. That's different. Yeah. Like, this knucklehead on social media or the fool walking down the street, who cares? Please. Fuck those people. God be with them. Fuck those people. Okay. So I like where we're going with this. The practice of reframing in the moment is what I'm hearing you're saying, but also honoring. So if you wake up with sweatpants energy, what is it essentially telling you? For someone who has no clue, somebody listening going, what the fuck is sweatpants energy? What does that mean?
It is a, what's low energy. It's, you know, there's not a lot to work with. And it is, I think, for me, a sweatpants energy is definitely dimming my light. I don't want people to notice me. I'm just gonna go along to get along today.
Okay. So in the world of energetic leadership, we would say that that would be about a one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, but in the world of energetic leadership, we don't judge our energy levels because we know that they can be used for good. And sometimes they can push us over the edge negatively the other way.
Yeah.
But balancing them. So if you wake up with level one sweatpants energy and it's a Saturday or a Sunday and you literally have nothing to do that day,
Then I get to wear sweatpants. and okay. watch Game of Thrones.
Right? Oh, hell yeah. Okay. Now I want to come. Okay. And if you wake up with sweatpants level one energy and you've got a major presentation that day, mm-hmm. what do you do? What do you get to choose to do?
I choose my, I can't remember all the levels, but I'm going to choose higher level. I'm going to mm-hmm. choose my favorite dress. I'm going to mm-hmm. do my hair and no ponytail. Ponytail is the same as sweatpants energy for me. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. you rock a ponytail and it looks like you're like doing something with your hair, but I put a ponytail in and it's like, she gave up.
you better stop it.
Right. So no ponytail, no sweatpants. Okay. I'm gonna wear a thing that makes me feel like I'm on top of my game.
Okay, so you're gonna make a conscious effort to shift and the outside. Now what do you do to shift? The outside is one thing, it's going to help a little bit.
Yeah,
but what else might need to happen?
Yeah, you know, I think so a couple things. One is that I am really trying to learn acceptance of mm-hmm. whatever is going on internally. And I think there is a accepting doesn't mean that I don't have to do anything about it. I don't know. That doesn't make sense. But what I'm trying to get to, the thing that's coming out of this conversation for me today is thinking about what I'm telling myself. Like I can accept that I woke up with level one energy, but I don't have to believe why my brain thinks I have that level one energy. And I don't have to believe what Gladys is telling me that means about the rest of my day. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is, you know, there's a ritual aspect to getting dressed and doing your hair and those kinds of things. And that can be a time for being mindful about mm-hmm. what is going on mentally. Yeah.
You said something I think is important to point out, and it was really beautiful because you said it's about, paraphrasing a bit, but remembering how I'm speaking to myself in those moments. Okay. Cause this isn't for anyone listening. I'm saying, oh, let's quick fix it. You know, we're just going to put on a pretty dress and some lipstick, girls, and make it all better. No, mm-hmm. that's not what I'm saying. Right. It's not what you're saying. Addressing it, acknowledging it is important. Mm-hmm. Hearing yourself out is important. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if we were talking to our best friend or even a child, okay, and this person was in this funk and they needed to go do something, like, how do you help them in that moment? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be the parent or the best friend who's just like, yeah, okay, but just get the fuck over it and go do it?
Yeah.
Is that what they need? Or how would you approach it? And if it's you, then how would you want someone to approach you in that moment? Right?
Yeah. You know, the thing that I try to say to my friends, people that I love, when they're having a hard time is like, oh, that sounds rough. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry that you're going through that. That sounds hard. And I think that is a thing I crave. You know, I hear you. That sounds hard. Yeah. I'm sorry that you're going through that.
What else would you ask them?
What can I do to help? Mm-hmm. I can't, you know, what mm-hmm. do you need? What is mm-hmm. going to make this easier for you today? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can ask myself all those same things and I can right. give myself those things most of the time, yeah. most things.
Yeah. And here's the thing, what you may conclude or what may come back to you is the answer is, I don't want to go do the thing. Mm-hmm. And if that's the answer and you sit well with that, and that is what's actually going to be what you need, mm-hmm. then you go do that. The answer isn't always push through, mm-hmm. right? But the point is to get into conversation with yourself in a very real and compassionate way.
Yeah.
And to see, is this something that we can rise from today? Where are we at? Mm-hmm. Gladys, can you shut the fuck up for 2 seconds today? Sarah, what do we need? I think I just maybe need to move my body, or I think I just maybe need another 10 more minutes, or I think I'm not feeling great. I don't feel very pretty. Okay, well then what will make us feel a little bit better about ourselves today? Mm-hmm. A little free dancing naked, a little ritual dance, a little this. Okay, maybe it's putting on that dress I just bought. That might make me feel better. Mm-hmm. Right? But it's the willingness to go through it. And that's the thing is some of us are so willing to sit for fucking 3 hours on the phone with our friend who is bawling about this dude or the person they were with and how their heart is broken. And we're like, yes, girl. And we will be there for them and fuck that person. And we're like rallying them and we can't do it for fucking 30 seconds for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But can you ride or die for you, please?
Yes, I can. I can.
All right. Okay. So for tomorrow or for our next session, what action steps, actually, I want you to choose the action steps that feel relevant to you right now that would be helpful in helping you build this practice of this beautiful home remodel we're in.
Yeah, I think I am, like I said before, I think I can commit to between now and our next session, really looking at the clothes in my closet and thinking about, sorry, my reminder's going off. Think about what makes me feel good. What is like, put a little capsule wardrobe together of like energy boosters.
Yes. Ooh, I love that.
Yeah. And that is just like, okay, you can't get through this with sweatpants energy. So here's your options and not have to think about that. Cause that's another thing with, you know, with sweatpants energy, it's hard to make decisions.
So
I can find that. I can do that for her, for me.
Why do you think it's hard to make decisions with sweatpants energy?
Ooh, I think it is, because with sweatpants energy, the voice, the gremlin is everything is wrong. Every choice is wrong. They can find the flaw in each thing. They can tell you why that's not going to work. And so every choice feels like a bad choice. And they're wrong, of course, but when you're in level one energy, you don't know that or you have a hard time believing it.
And then when you shift your energy up to a higher level, like 3 or 4, what are you able to do?
Able to see more clearly, like we were talking about earlier, that not everything is a catastrophe, right? That not everything is going to be worst case scenario. I think the other thing that feels true for me with level one and two is I feel a loss of control in those places. And in the higher levels of energy, you feel like you have control over yourself and your actions, and also you're more able to influence the world around you.
Exactly. I think as we close, I want to acknowledge you too, that this, you know, this journey has been, like you said, there's been so much of you trying to understand how the box was built. Okay. And that is a lot of what therapy is for, right? It's understanding how the box was built. What you and I have been working towards is getting ready to now get out of the box and go forward.
Yeah.
Okay. No need a box anymore. Actually, there's really nothing to build other than your motherfucking wings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's it. Really, we don't need to go build another structure unless it's one that's like really with windows and openness and one that is not actually going to contain you, but just allow you a home base to flourish in, you know? Yeah, so I think it's really important to acknowledge this for you, to acknowledge how much work you've done. And how much you have invested in yourself and poured into yourself. And that is loving you. So it's not that, oh, she's now getting it. No, she has been getting it, y'all. Because anybody who's dedicated this amount of time into investing in herself and healing herself has been getting it, actually. You've been loving yourself all this time, and it may feel inconsistent because Gladys shows up.
And because we have sweatpants energy days, but you have been loving yourself. You have been doing the work the whole time. Yeah. Yeah. You fucking badass.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. I couldn't have done it without you, or I wouldn't have known how without you.
You know what? You would have found your way. You would have found your way. You would have found your way. And that's what I believe. I just had the honor to be the person to help assist in that, but you would have found your way. Okay. So are we clear what you need to do for next session? Okay. So let's really come up with it. Let's use that beautiful imagination, have some fun. You know, just coming up with ways that I'm going to commit to doing this for myself. I think language is important. So if I may interject, something to do with language, I want you to ponder how you can use language to help you in this practice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Since it is one of your star tools.
Okay.
All right, my lady, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you. This was fun.
Thank you for listening to the Electric Feminine Podcast with me, your host, Anjua Maximo. If you're ready to dive into this work of developing your connection to your goddess energy, of removing those obstacles standing in your way, please reach out at info@anjuamaximo.com, or you can check out my courses available and my private coaching at www.anjuamaximo.com. Be good to you, be good to each other.